Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're on here every night, Monday through Friday. With me is Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, and Bud Dickman. And we have this week, as I mentioned to you late last week, we have an announcement that will be released as a press release.
You got to say the difference on that, because a lot of people are going to be confused.
A lot of people are going to be confused about what?
What is a press release? People know what that is, but...
A press release is when we release a statement to the press.
All right. Well, why do you look so irritated?
Because I just, you know, it's like asking me, what are shoes? Well, you put your...
Well, not exactly.
Yes, exactly. A press release is something, just allow me to, you know, explain, but it is something you release to the press.
So it will be a written statement?
Yeah.
And it will be, what will be in it?
I'm not going to tell you what's going to be in it, because that is later.
You see how you see it right there? You see that, Phil?
Margaret.
No, you see, as soon as I asked you the tough questions, this is what you did. You did that,
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit confused, I'm sorry.
No, I'm not confused. I know exactly what it is. It's a press release. It'll be released this week. I wasn't going, It's the fact that you're asking me this question. It's so basic. It's a press release. It'll be a statement that we will release to the radio press telling everybody what we're going to do with our radio show. Thank you very much. To polish up the Phil Hendry brand, to get us back front and center and squared up and flying right and, you know, straighten up and fly right. Don't blow your top. Daddy.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
who's that?
Just a goofy song I was quoting. So anyway, part of that will be an announcement as to when we're going to start the new show. Because people are asking, well, the relaunch of your show, Phil 2.0, if you want to. When's that going to happen, Phil? Well, that'll be in the press release. And what is going to be the day part? Well, that'll be in the press release.
Now, what do you mean by day part? See, that's very radio.
Yeah, that's a very radio term.
Okay, fine. Day part meaning what time will we be on? Will we be on now in the same time? Will we move it up? Will we move it later? I will make that announcement.
In other words, you are moving it.
Margaret, please, okay?
Yeah, stop.
You did it again.
Are you guys asking me these questions just to hear if I'm going to go like that?
Yeah, in a lot of ways you want to know your psychological state, that's all.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, thank you, doctor. What are you, with the NASA team to make sure the astronauts are not crapping in their suits or something?
What's that mean?
What does that mean?
Well, he's asking me all these questions about psychology and what my state of mind is. I'm fine. And it's going to be even better when we do launch or relaunch the Phil Hendry Show. So, again, as of the 24th, that's the last show we do at Talk Radio Network. And then we are going to relaunch our show, and we'll let you know as these things are made available to us. It's, you know, like the man said, when I get it, you get it. Although I guess I've already got it.
Yeah, so you already know. You're just holding back.
No, I'm not holding back. What I'm doing is I'm letting our press people...
Oh, Phil, don't make it sound like you got a big staff of people or something.
Well, we're letting our press people handle it, and then it will be launched. So that's very, very exciting. Very exciting, and we're looking forward to it. And thank you, all of you who have been checking in on Facebook and asking us, well, what's up, Phil? And how are things going? It's going swimmingly, I'll tell you that right now. Now, as I was saying, we may have to get Dr. Sadler on the show or something. We do have Dean Wheeler scheduled for tonight. Dean is with the Northern California Holistic Center. He and his wife, Emeralda, have purification ceremonies. As you know, she has the burgeoning singing career, but they also are very much rooted in their Northern California Holistic Center, and they have Native American purification ceremonies. Now, whether these are truly Native American ceremonies, I am not qualified to address. I have no idea. If a guy says to me, oh, this is authentic, I guess I got to go along with that.
Well, I don't think that's fair. I think we should give them the benefit of the doubt. I've known Emeralda Wheeler for... Oh, my God, Phil. I've known Emeralda Wheeler since 1984, and she ran the herbal, she ran an herbal tea shop up there on Main Street.
Yeah.
And she met Dean. Now, you know that he had a problem with her. There was some domestic violence, but he was able to work that out.
Well, Dean's story is nuts, and he did, yeah. He was arrested for domestic violence. He was dealing heroin. Was arrested in New Jersey for it, and then took off. He jumped bail, came to California, and then negotiated with the New Jersey authorities by way of his attorney and was able to come to an agreeable negotiated, I guess, a negotiated sentence of some kind, whereby, or not sentence, but he went back to New Jersey, right?
Yes, he went back to New Jersey. Part of the agreement with the New Jersey Attorney General was that, and you know, I want people to know, I don't know about heroin dealing. I don't know anything about this. Why are you asking me, in fact?
Because you're friends with the people.
I know, but it makes it sound, so I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you do. He's talking about it later.
Margaret, nobody's going to think you're dealing heroin, okay?
I know that. He and his attorney made an agreement with the New Jersey Attorney General. They went back to New Jersey. Dean then, I suppose, submitted himself. What are you laughing at?
When you said submitted himself?
Oh, I think it was some kind of guy bent over.
Why is everything bending over? Just because a man submits himself doesn't mean he's bent.
Just take it easy. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, they negotiated a deal whereby Dean, I think he paid a fine. I think he did do some jail time, but then he was released. He's back in California. And he met Emerelda. Now, he beat her for the first 6 months. And then he got out of jail.
Okay, now, just hold it there.
Phil, I'm not done.
Hold it there. This is a guy, folks, that runs a Northern California holistic center, and he's grooving with the whole peace and, you know, tribal love thing. This guy was a heroin dealer and beat his wife for the first 6 months.
Why are you smiling? You're going like that. I find that very offensive.
Well, it's just the juxtapositioning of
what's that mean?
Juxtapositioning, putting together with this, how they look side by side. It's just that between Northern California holistic and a guy beating his old lady.
Beating his old lady. Well, thank you very much, Wavy Gravy. What a...
Yeah, I should say old lady. I'm sorry, his wife. So, he gets put in jail for that, right?
Yes, Dean goes to jail for domestic violence, comes out clean as a baby's... Well, excuse my language, but he comes out, he's reformed, he forms the Northern California Holistic Center. He and Emerelda both begin to give classes in yoga, in meditation, in prana redirection. He's as clean as a baby's, you know, ass.
What?
I don't have to repeat for him, do I?
She said ass.
Well,
take it. All right. In any event, folks, that's the story of Dean Wheeler, and he's going to be our guest this evening because the last time he was on, they were doing a purification ceremony whereby you walk across heated metal, and I don't know, but it was butchered a little bit because there was some wildlife in a tree in his backyard that he said, quote unquote, was giving him crap. Now, I'm laughing, as anybody should who has 5 cents worth of brains. Anybody who's been given a clean bill of health at any mental health facility would laugh at something like that.
Why?
Why?
There's no wildlife going to laugh at you, man.
What?
There's no animal going to laugh at you.
What wildlife is going to laugh at you?
Any wildlife.
But animals don't laugh.
This guy thought there were some squirrels in a tree laughing. In any event, we'll be talking to Dean here a little bit later on. Other news to get through as well here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com, the international intergalactic headquarters of the Phil Hendry Show online. And that is where you get a backstage pass and get yourself access to thousands and thousands of hours of our online audio. You're also going to be able to access our second Phil 2.0 if you want the relaunch of our show. Some good and exciting and unusual news regarding that. And our video cast will be a part of our announcement. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And Dean and Emerelda Wheeler in Northern California, in Novato, California, with us to, you know, just kind of follow up on a couple of things. We've had them on. I wanted to follow up on Emerald's singing career, Dean. And I know that we've had you on multiple times from a variety of venues in Northern California, I think in Southern California, as we've been listening to her and her burgeoning career in the singing and then some of the issues that you've had. We were also with you, I guess it was, well, maybe a couple of months ago.
Can I, Phil, and thank you for having us on. Can I just interrupt you for a minute? I don't have issues with Emerald. I had issues with members of the band that she fronts.
Well, you had issues with one particular guy?
Well, with the horn player and with the piano player. And again, it's nothing that I want to dwell on, but she was singing in a manner that I did not approve of, and I think she's Emerald is here, and you would agree with that, right? And so she's I think she's kind of gotten the cobwebs wiped away a little bit, and she's flying right, to put it your way, Phil, as you said, straighten up and fly right. I think that's what needs to happen. I also, at this particular time, Phil, if I may, Brigitte Bjornsdóttir is a member of the Icelandic Parliament, and she's on television right now. She is a very, I think, an attractive woman. She has offered Edward Snowden asylum. He is the man that, as you know, is, and Sean Hannity is even calling it Big Brother Exposed. I think that this is a moment in the history of our country where we're going to see both left and right come together on an issue.
Well, I do. I don't. I didn't anticipate talking about this, and I'm not sure that I want to talk about this.
Why is that?
Because I personally, I don't share your opinion. I don't want to get all that, you know, political tonight.
Well, if you don't share my opinion, Phil.
I don't share your opinion. I don't believe that this kind of willy-nilly, you know, secret sharing and exposing and WikiLeaking and this guy Manning and this guy Snowden and, you know, if anybody doesn't believe this is political in nature, they're crazy. I mean, this is an assault on the Obama. If this had been George Bush, well, then the attacks would have been coming from, and as a matter of fact, these are things that the kind of records that have been shared with the NSA, et cetera, this is all something that was a part of the Bush administration.
Well, all right. So do you want to talk about it or not? Because I'm looking at this very lovely lady from the Icelandic Parliament, Brigitte Bjornsdóttir, I think is her name.
What about her?
Well, what about her? Never mind. Let's just move on, Phil. That's okay.
No, you brought it up. What about her?
I think she is, again, I think she's very attractive, and she's helping this young man, Snowden. And
what does her attractiveness have to do with it?
Yes, Dean, this is Margaret. Why? What? Who cares if she's attractive?
Who cares if she's attractive? No one. I'm just saying she would make a very great face. I think she'd make a very saliable face on the anti-Big Brother movement. That's all I'm saying.
But you're a married man. You're sitting next to a woman whose singing career you're promoting.
And Emerald is here, and she understands what I'm all about. And she is supporting it. Look, I tell you what, rather than get bogged down in this, why don't we go ahead and talk about what's going on with Emeralda. She was, as you know, Phil, and you mentioned it, she was at a couple of clubs here in Northern California. We are this close to signing a deal with Comegon Records, which is out of Oakland, California, and they're a small label, but I believe they have good distribution.
Now these guys are going to do an album. What are they going to do?
Right now, we're in discussion with them as to whether or not they're going to do a full album of songs, or whether we want to push an EP of some kind, do some singles. But they came out and they saw Emeralda over here at the Flathead, which was 2 weeks ago, and I think she's doing very well. The other thing I wanted to mention to you was this issue with the Tribal Council here in Northern California. Now, the Native American Tribal Council, and it was Johnny Two Sheets, as you know, who was here and was in the tree in our backyard. We got an oak tree back here, and it was Johnny Two Sheets. If we have the recording, and I've actually got the recording from 2 weeks ago, Phil, if we can play that.
All right, if you have that, we won't roll it here.
No, we've got it on our end. Go ahead and roll it from... number three. All right, I don't know if you heard that, Phil, but that was Johnny Two Sheets
That was Johnny Two Sheets what? That was him getting shot?
Yes, that was him getting shot.
By, and you're making the claim that he was shot by squirrels.
No, I'm not making that claim at all. My God, you do think I'm insane, don't you?
No, he wasn't saying. Who shot him?
Well, we don't know, but we do feel that it had something to do with the this herd, squirrel herd that was in our tree.
So you think it was somebody that had to do with the squirrels in your tree? Were they protecting wildlife?
Emeralda has just gotten up and gone into the house. What's wrong, honey? Well, she doesn't want to hear this part. I believe, frankly, that it was Emeralda herself going through what I thought was a psychotic episode. But I think there's something more to it now. I think there is a somnambulist episode going on.
That's a somnambulist.
Who's that?
It's Bud Dickman.
Holy jeez.
Well, what is that?
It's a good question. What do you mean by that?
I mean someone who has someone who had hypnotized her and caused her to draw from a bag that she was holding a .38 caliber.
Did you see her shoot this guy, Johnny Two Sheets?
No, I didn't, and no one else did. Otherwise, she wouldn't be here right now. She'd be in police custody. But it's my belief.
And what do the police say?
Well, the police believe that he was shot.
Of course he was shot. We can hear the gunshots.
All right, well...
Well, what do they say about the caliber of the gun? What do they say about the direction of the, you know...
Well, Mr. Henry, this is an investigation discovery, okay? I don't want to go through the whole new detective thing with you. All I know is the police have amassed evidence, and I feel they're 48 to 72 hours away from arresting my wife. Okay?
All right.
I mean, I'm scared.
Dean, don't be scared. This is Margaret Dean. I'm sorry that we were very harsh with you.
I'm very frightened.
So you think they're going to arrest your wife?
Thank you very much.
Why are you laughing?
I can't help it. I can't...
That's the stupidest thing. We'll never get back on the radio now.
I don't understand why his wife shot Johnny Two Sheets.
Aren't you ashamed of yourself, Phil?
I suppose I should be, and yet I don't understand why his wife pulled a gun and shot this poor Indian man out of a tree.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Phil. I'll get David Hall. If you don't stop your laughing, I'm walking off this show.
Okay, I've stopped. I honestly...
Yeah.
You're laughing, Mr. Henry. You gotta stop it.
Yeah, watch it. Don't tell me to watch it. I'll laugh on my own show if I want to.
Well, then you don't want me on your show.
Of course I want you on the show, Margaret. You got to understand, it's the most absurd thing I've ever heard of. 3 months ago, or 2 months ago, whatever the hell it was, we had on Dean and his wife, and they were having a purification ceremony, blah, blah, blah. Johnny Two Sheets, whatever kind of a name that is.
It's a Native American name, you racist.
God.
Well, okay. This guy crawls up into a tree to get rid of some squirrels that Dean claims are laughing at him.
Thank you very much.
Where are you going?
Where do you think?
Going to the can.
And so his wife pulls a gun and shoots Johnny Two Sheets? Why? Why? I don't know.
Maybe she'll believe in a squirrel.
She could believe in squirrel, yeah.
What do you mean, believe in squirrel, man? Is that another name for God? You mean she believes in what, the right of squirrels to live? There's something really gone with that family, I'm telling you right now. And Dean's got bigger fish to fry than whether he's got an album deal for her when she's shooting guys out of trees. Oh, man.
Mr. Henry, I just think, when you laughing like that, it only get bad fuel to the fire on a Johnny Two Sheets.
Whatever that means, man.
He's saying under Johnny Two Sheets that's adding fuel to fire.
Adding fuel to what fire, man? That Johnny Two Sheets got killed? Of course he did.
Then he got murdered by Emeralda Wheeler.
So he got murdered by Emeralda Wheeler. I happen to think that he did get murdered by Emeralda Wheeler. Or whatever his name is. Or her name. Or its name. Because he said he saw her pull that gun out of the bag. He's not... I'm going to tell you something, Dean. If you got something to say to the cops up there, you better start saying it. You better start singing, my friend, as they say in the gangster movies. You better start singing like a canary. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have Octomom News. We will have Dean and his wife, Emeralda, returning in the show later on, just as soon as they get squared away. Some rather sad news from the camp of ex-Journey lead singer Steve Perry. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't want to leave you with a bummer, but we'll be right. Oh, Kylie Jenner got a new SUV, so there. Don't you feel good?
I feel much better. I'm back from the toilet. I feel much better.
Why? Because you're in the toilet?
You dirty...
Hey! I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Margaret, you had...
Yes, if you're looking on Phil TV, and if you're not, that's all right. I personally don't approve of this whole idea of having to pay to...
Well, okay, thank you, but...
All right, well, if you're looking on Phil TV, you can see the map of Novato, California. Now, this is where Dean Wheeler's located. This is the northernmost city in Marin County. That's the name of the county, not San Francisco County, Phil. There's no such thing. It's Marin County. Marin, mer, as in the moo. It is Latin, and it comes from the root...
Never mind, okay? Marin County.
Marin County, yes, that's what I said. Now, Novato, I don't know anything about, but I know that they're there at the Northern California Holistic Center. Now, the Native American Council there uses the Wheeler property for the purification. That is the heated metal walk where they... heat, old radiators, these are from automobiles, generally the manifold or the radiator, some part of the engine, they heat it until it is white hot. And then you're expected to walk over this garbage, this junk. Basically, it's white hot junk.
Yeah, and you're supposed to walk over top of this white hot junk, not scream.
Yeah, you can't scream or nothing.
Right. Well, I mean, isn't the goal to walk on this very uncomfortable material... and not feel the pain?
No, not that. That is a misnomer. It may be in other spiritual disciplines, but with Dean and Emeralda, their philosophy is that it may hurt so much you can't stand it, but don't even betray that it hurts. And that way, you get your certificate, and you graduate from the holistic class there, and you go on to do whatever you want to do. I don't know, whether you give massages or something.
Well, that seems like you don't get a hell of a lot for what you go through.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, if you're walking over white hot junk, you know.
No, what's I about to say, junk?
You know something? Junk, as in garbage, as in discarded car parts. Not talking about anybody's thing. And you're walking over top of this stuff, and the only thing you get is a certificate on giving people massages. There's something wrong with that whole organization. I'm telling you.
Well, as you said, we'll talk to them later.
All right, so we will talk with him later and find out about whether or not Dean is going to betray his wife to the Marin Sheriff. It's ridiculous. We ought to pick the phone up right now and call him.
No, you can't do that. Then Dean, what are you going to do then?
He's going to be like a caged rat, man.
What about it?
Well, that's when a man feels like a caged rat, and he may just say, Katie, bar the door, I'm arrested anyway, and start taking some speed bag practice on, well...
On Emeralda?
Look at you laughing. God.
Well, who's the one that said... All right.
They're talking speed bag practice.
Yeah, if you use your head like a speed bag or something.
I didn't say a steam bag, did I? I said speed bag.
I didn't say steam bag.
What's a steam bag?
I don't know.
Well, then obviously he didn't say. He misspoke. He meant speed bag. And if you're talking about taking speed bag practice off your wife's head, that's pretty brutal. I don't know what you find so funny about that.
I didn't laugh, you did.
Yeah, you did, Mr. Hendry.
All right, I did, but then she smiled. All right.
No, I didn't.
Well, Octomom Nadia Suleiman is reportedly being investigated for welfare fraud. Well, there's a shock and a half. Are you kidding? Is that news?
Why wouldn't it be news?
Because 14 kids, come on. 14 kids, I don't know what she does for, nobody has been able to determine yet how any of this came about. I think the lady personally is, I think this is strictly something for the authorities. Turning her into some sort of a media, I mean, if she'd taken the bread that she made doing whatever the hell it was she was doing, if she's getting all of this notoriety, there must have been some kind of payday involved, and I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, you know? I mean, whatever gets the job done. It's her life, and if you want to buy a videotape of her by herself doing a, quote, solo, end quote, be my guest.
How much do you think they paid her for that?
I have no idea. What are you looking at me for?
Well, what are you looking at me for?
I'm not. I'm just saying. I don't know what they paid her. Whatever they paid her, it obviously didn't go very far, because now she's, or at least this is what they're accusing her of, I realize.
Yeah, you gotta say it's allegedly and everything like that.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's being investigated for welfare fraud on a tip that the mother of 14 has been illegally collecting thousands of dollars in government aid. According to a search warrant, officials are taking steps to seize Suleiman's financial records from her manager's home and office. Her manager. Per TMZ, Suleiman and her 14 children are eligible for welfare benefits if she earns less than $119,000 in a calendar year.
Man, that's a lot of money.
It ain't a lot of money when you got 14 kids. It's not a lot of money.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. $119,000 in a calendar. However, officials at the L.A. County Department of Welfare Fraud Prevention and Investigation reportedly received a tip that she grossed more than $200,000 in 2012. And still collected public assistance money from the government. I don't know whether she did or not, but that's pretty common. People working and also collecting government assistance. And I've seen it happen. And for people have asked, you know, for instance, in these recent recessions they've had, that we've had. Yeah, you know, Phil, have you ever really had to take unemployment? I mean, do you really know what's going on? Yeah, are you kidding me, man? I mean, unemployment, my God, during my 20s and at least a part of my 30s, the unemployment office was a place that I became very familiar with. Because you're talking about in the 70s, there were at least two big recessions. Then there was another one kicking off the 80s. Then there was another one at the end of the... The last unemployment check that I drew was... I'm trying to think. Was it the late 80s?
Well, Phil, I mean, either you were on public assistance or you weren't.
I was. I absolutely got unemployment insurance at one point in my life, but then I stopped. And I think it probably was... It was the late 80s that I went and I got unemployment, and then that was it. And then I got my gig up in Ventura, and then I was off to the races and talk radio. And I, after that, you know.
You get fired a job after that?
Yeah, you get fired from jobs. You're not going to, I just forget it. I wasn't about to sit there and okay, better go down to the unemployment office, because I felt like my time would be better spent hunting up a gig, and that's all that was important. And I saved enough money where I could live on it, you know.
Wait a minute, you trying to tell me that you live on your savings even though you could have gone down and got free checks?
Why did you do that?
Because that's just the way I was raised. That's who I am. That's the kind of guy that I am, okay? That's the kind of guy that I am. I went ahead and I dipped into my savings and I lived on that and I didn't go down and get unemployment. Now, call me stupid or crazy, whatever you want. It's easier for me to do that and I don't want to do it.
It's easier for you to do what?
It's easier for me to take money out of the bank.
Well, you said you didn't want to do it.
Yeah, you mispronounced it.
In any event, it's easier for me to take money out of the bank than it is for me to go down to a government office and say, okay, here I am for the 19th time in my life getting unemployment. So it's a tough road to hoe. It is not cool, but the money's there, and if you're entitled to it, then you're entitled to it. So this lady, supposedly, if she'd made $119,000 or less, she would have been, but she grossed more than $200,000, and I do mean gross.
See, that's not right.
Well... And still collected public assistance money from the government. If the tip turns out to be true, she could be thrown into a hole for the rest of her life. I'm kidding. She could face up to 3 years of prison time. According to an earlier report on ABC News, the controversial 37-year-old weaned herself off of welfare in the fall of 2012. Weaned herself off, huh?
Well, I think they're making a very interesting comparison there between the weaning of the little ones, the babies, the infants, who had to wean themselves off of her, you know, her big...
Well, they're big.
Well, I didn't mean to say big. The infants had to wean themselves off of her...
Yeah, off of the nipple.
Yeah, I didn't want to say nipple.
But it could have been a fake one.
What do you mean a fake one?
Like on a baby bottle.
Well, either you're weaning yourself off of a baby bottle or a mother's breast, so which is it?
Well, the real one.
In other words, her breast.
I didn't want to say.
You don't want to talk about that.
All right, so fine. But we're talking about breastfeeding. So go ahead, Margaret.
So, What was I saying?
Weaning her. They were drawing a compare. I get it.
Yeah, they're drawing the comparison between weaning herself and the children weaning. So the two of them had to wean. Not the two of them, but the 14 representing one, she representing the other, and the two together had to de-wean. You understand what I'm saying?
De-wean.
Yes, de-wean.
That was the guy you interviewed last week, too.
That may well be, bud. See, he gets a big kick out of it. I interviewed a man by the name of Dan Ween last week. Had nothing whatsoever to do with this. It had to do with the sprinkler system they're putting in downtown in Santa Monica. So I interviewed the man, D. Ween.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
You interviewed D. Ween.
But I'm... Phil, I don't know. You're looking at me as if you're pissed.
I am pissed. Did you not just now say that the babies and she's got to de-wean herself?
The babies and she...
Mrs. Suleiman and the babies have to de-wean themselves, meaning they can't be on the nipple.
Well, the babies don't. She can't be on welfare.
Right. And Bud said, ha-ha, de-wean, because he knew you'd interviewed a guy by the name of Dan Ween from Santa Monica?
Yes, yes, yes. All right? They're putting in sprinklers down there, and I did an interview with him.
Okay, what a god.
Well, Phil...
No, that's a big fat waste of time. You guys, just Bud, not every little thing you gotta bring up, okay?
Yeah, but the guy's name is D. Ween.
You would have to kind of bring that up, Mr. Henry, on account of that's part of, like, what do you call it?
Well, I have to reveal certain facts.
You have to reveal certain facts. That had nothing to do with the story. Nothing whatsoever to do with the story that you interviewed a guy named D. Ween has nothing to do with the Suleiman story.
Nonetheless...
According to an earlier report by ABC News, the controversial 37-year-old...
Notice how he's just ignoring it.
Yeah.
The controversial 37-year-old weaned herself off of welfare. She de-weaned, not Dan Ween of Santa Monica City.
City?
Wow, you butchered that.
City, who put in a sprinkler system... But de-wean as in taking herself off of the mother's milk, quote-unquote, of welfare. She spent most of her savings while she was in Chapman Treatment Center paying for around-the-clock nannies, drivers, security, and her treatment program, her rep told ABC. She does not expect to be on longer than 3 months. In any case, January's setback was not Suleiman's first brush with financial troubles. In May 2012, she filed for Chapter 7 in federal court, revealing she had less than $50,000 in assets. She owed $500,000. I have to make some very difficult decisions this year, and filing Chapter 7 was one of them.
Yeah, she's got to make some difficult decisions.
Yeah, whether she eats one of her kids or not.
You filthy...
Hey, hey! That's not funny, bud.
Yeah. I think it was.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Well, I think it was.
Well, it was... Are you going to tell him to shut up?
Just both you guys. I've had to make some very difficult decisions, and I'm going to have to eat some of my... I'm kidding, okay?
That's...
Anyway, you can read more about this if you go to Us Magazine, even though we were quoting TMZ. We'll be back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Dean Wheeler and his wife, Emerelda, will return with us. Steve Perry is sick, the former frontman for Journey. And Kylie Jenner, the young daughter of the Mr. and Mrs. Jenner of the Kardashian thing, she just got herself a $125,000 SUV and drove it off a cliff. No, she didn't. She didn't. She's fine. And we'll talk about that. World famous Phil Henry Show. Nice.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I don't care about D. Moon, man. You know? Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. From a couple of weeks back, here was just a taste, and it's not much of a taste, just a taste of our radio show when Dean Wheeler was on the program with his wife, Emerelda. Emerelda's a singer, and she was in a club in Northern California called Flatheads, and we're going to just go back and replay some of that tape for you.
That's what they said, Phil.
Okay, and is she on stage? She's on stage now.
Yeah, she's coming out right now. This is Emerelda. Now, one of the things that has been troubling her, as you know, Phil, was... Here she goes. One of the things that was troubling her, Phil, was the purification ceremony that we'd had a couple of weeks back at our house. And at that time, yeah, baby, that's it. I'm making eye contact with her right now.
Okay. Can you still talk to us?
Oh, yeah, yeah. But she needs for me to make eye contact with her. Just right here, baby. You and me. You and me. There's no one else. Right here. Look at my eye. See, she's not looking at me now. She's looking at that horn player. See, this is what I mean. Do you know how far I've had to come in my life to come out of jail and not lay one hand on a woman? And that's it, baby. Look at me.
Okay, Dean, to get back to our conversation.
Yeah.
So what happened at the house?
Well, at the house, you know, Johnny Two Sheets went up the tree. There goes that damn horn. Oh, this guy's lousy. Right here, baby. That's it. Look at me. Just you and me, baby. Nobody else in the world. So anyway, Jimmy, I forget his name, but he's a member of the Northern California Tribal Council, went up the tree to get rid of these squirrels that were, there's a lot of squirrel droppings in our yard anyway, and we were about to do the purification process. And we had some neighbors, I shouldn't say neighbors, they're members of our holistic center, but yes, they do happen to be people that live next door to us. And they came in and were about to go across the heated metal when these squirrels defecated and began throwing, peanut shells. And
now, when you say throwing, you're making it sound as if they have little arms, you know.
Well, I don't mean that, but whatever they do, whatever a squirrel does, I'm not an expert on wildlife, but I am an expert on I hate to put it this way. Hold on for a minute. Hey, Emeralda, that's it, honey. Just look at my eyeballs. Your eyes to my eyes, baby. That's it. Yeah. Da 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 do da do.
Shut up.
I'm sorry?
Shut up.
Anyway, Phil.
I don't want to get you in trouble like you did that one time.
No, that's all right. So what happened was, as Johnny Two Sheets went up in a tree to calm these squirrels down, two shots rang out, or multiple shots, and he drops to the pavement. Now, someone who I think was very tasteless said, oh, looks like the squirrels did it. I'm not so insane, Phil, that I think squirrels are going to kill a man. And when I say kill a man, they killed the hell out of him. I mean, I suspect.
Okay, that's the tape we had, and we had to go to cut away. Dean?
Hi, Phil.
Dean Wheeler's back with us. So that's a tape recording, folks, from last month when you guys were at Flatheads and that new jazz place in, where is that?
That's in Oakland.
In Oakland. And at that time, you felt that your wife was responsible for the shooting death of Johnny Two Sheets.
At that time, yes. At that time. At that time, I felt that way.
Have you changed your opinion?
I have not, but I feel there are mitigating circumstances. Johnny went up into the tree. I didn't ask him to. Emeralda, at that time, was under a great deal of pressure. She was taking antipsychotics, and by that I mean she's not psychotic, but she was taking antidepressants, and at times they do give you antipsychotics. There's no real evidence that she fired the weapon that eventually the projectiles were released from that traveled through the air and went into a guy's butt. There's got to be an easier way of saying it.
That she's the one that shot him.
Yes, that she's the one that shot him. But it is my feeling that I saw her reach into a canvas gym bag that she had at her feet.
All right, can I interrupt you? Because we do, I want to kind of move this along. Now, this was during a purification ceremony. There was Native Americans singing and dancing and so on and so forth.
The Native Americans were playing. Gary Hindley and his wife Joyce were doing the walk of the heated radiator. I don't know what the hell they call it, but they were going across this metal. That's when I heard the chipmunks start to go, and they were disturbing me, and they were disturbing my customers and my friends. And I said to them, "You are disturbing me. You're disturbing my customers."
Now you're saying this to squirrels.
I know that. I didn't think they were, but it was beginning to really drive me nuts. And that's when Johnny Two Sheets put his hand on my shoulder. And I don't know if you've ever, Phil, had many dealings with Native Americans, but they can calm you. A calming word from a Native person, especially when they're talking about animals of the wildlife. You know, the Native American people have I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah, they get a relationship with the rocks and the animals.
Exactly. They have a relationship with the rocks and the animals. And so he said to me, "Mr. Wheeler, don't worry about it. I'll handle it. And up the tree he went. I heard the shots ring out. I looked over to Emeralda. I saw her putting something back into a canvas gym bag.
Did you see her with the canvas gym bag before?
No, I did not. No, I did not. She had been sitting there enjoying this ceremony, and all of a sudden there's a canvas gym bag. Now, that only happens if someone is hiding something.
If someone is hiding something.
Well, where did the canvas gym bag come from?
I don't know.
Was it there before the shots rang out?
No, it was not.
Well, then where did it come from?
Boy, we can do this all night. I don't know.
Did it come out of thin air? It wasn't there before the shots rang out.
No, it was not, but that's what happens when a guy gets shot.
Yeah, the canvas gym bag will show up.
What canvas gym bag? What are you guys talking about anyway? You say this is like it's something that happens all the time.
If there is a murder committed and there's a canvas gym bag, it's going to be there.
Yeah, I'd say that if there's a canvas gym bag, it better be there.
That's right. Only I don't know where it came from because it wasn't there before Johnny Two Sheets took it in the...
Well, you were going to say in the shorts.
Yes.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Dean Wheeler will be back with us throughout the program. We do want to get a comment from his wife, Emeralda, who is there and so far not in police custody. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's very unusual this time.
You and me, baby, that's right. Just keep your eyes on mine. That's it.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got... Carl Mislow is going to join us, journalist, and talk about the band Journey and the news about Stephen Perry, the former lead singer with the group, that a cancer, not the same cancer that he had endured not too long ago. I believe he had another form of cancer, which was a throat cancer or something. But he got a mole removed, which apparently is a melanoma. And I don't know, you know, talking about this stuff, suddenly... Man, I feel old, you know.
Well, Phil, you are old. Let's just face that. Let's face the facts, okay? You're old. And you're not getting any younger. You're getting older. And a lot of these bands...
Well, thank you very much for that.
Well, Mr. Henry, you got half a face of fact.
No kidding. You don't have to put it like that.
What?
Well, you're old, and you're getting older. And you ain't getting younger. You're getting older. I understand that, okay?
Well, a lot of these bands are getting old, too. And I think it's time that the fans of these bands begin to ease it off the gas a little bit. Give these men a break. They're old men. And when you're out there, like this Van Halen last summer, it was this time last year. Excuse me for 1 minute. I'm sorry, Phil.
You know what? I'm going to start just pulling your microphone cord and just not having you have any audio at all if you keep doing that.
Phil? I'm not going, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
I know. You don't want to shred your esophagus just so you keep this show belch-free. Well...
Well, what?
Well, maybe you're going to have to.
Not going to happen, my friend. Not going to happen, my man.
Yeah, my man. Well, I'm sorry.
Watch it. So, what about Van Halen? Last summer, they had the tour planned, and they decided to not go through with it because the band... You know, they were not getting along.
Well, they weren't getting along, but let me tell you something. They're old men. And these fans, oh, Van Halen, ooh! You're taking a bunch of elderly men and you're forcing them out onto a stage. Go, more, more, and more. More, Grandpa, and more. Some of them could, I don't know, Phil, I'm speaking in a very extreme way. How do you know there isn't internal bleeding? How do you know that...
What are you talking about?
Mr. Henry, you don't know the state of the health of these guys.
You get them up on a stage, and you jump, do-do-do-do. Now, you're seeing David Lee Roth jumping around, and what you don't see is that there has been an aneurysm. He's bleeding, maybe bleeding profusely. He's smiling. He won't let on. Perhaps there's been a stroke. How do you know that all of a sudden... You might as well, and excuse me, I shouldn't, you know.
Well, I think it needs to be said, Margaret.
If that man underwent a stroke halfway through that song, And suddenly you can't hear it because the PA is being drowned out by the cheering.
Yeah.
You are usual job. Okay, what are you laughing at?
Do you expect me not to laugh at that?
You really, you, Phil, may God have mercy on your soul.
What are you laughing about, Mr. Henry?
Are you kidding me?
That is your job.
Can we, Dan Northcraft, this is Margaret.
No, I'm the one that communicates with him, not you, okay?
Well then, act like a human being, please.
I am acting like a human being.
Mr. Henry, what happened to David Lee Roth? He had a stroke out there. And that's what it does sound like.
You know something? If David Lee Roth had a stroke in the middle of that song, I don't think we need to go so far as to demonstrate what it would sound like. I think Margaret did that for some kind of comedic effect.
No, I was not. I was asking you, how do you think the fans are going to react when all of a sudden the rock god, David Lee Roth, the original big hair rock god lead singer, has a stroke? That is a blood clot. That is life-threatening, Phil. I don't see anything funny about that. And suddenly, the blood supply, which also supplies the nervous system, which enables us to communicate to various parts of the body, suddenly that is impaired. And this man is up there jumping around, or more to the point, he is attempting to jump around, but you're seeing him holding his right arm to his side as he does a half-assed leap.
Yeah, only one leg, and the other leg is being held down.
Because of the stroke. So you see a split, but it's not really. It's just one. Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
You know what, Phil? Go straight to hell.
Okay, Margaret, that does it.
No, I'm sorry.
You're going to get Mr. Hall.
That's pretty rude, right on the air.
It's rude of you to make fun of a man having a stroke.
I'm not making fun of a guy having a stroke. Who had the stroke?
David Lee Roth.
David Lee Roth didn't have a stroke. She's saying what would happen if David Lee Roth had a stroke. He's trying to do the splits and only one leg goes up.
Well, you don't know. And then if the guy's had a
paralysis, man. If you have paralysis on one side of the face, he goes, my will go.
Yeah, what are you going to do if he goes, you might as well go?
Okay, so if he says...
And by the way, I'm back. By the way, Phil.
So you just pop right in to make your point.
Yes. This demonstrates and illustrates to a fan base that for the longest time has been, I think, usurious, has been demanding, has been begging and borrowing and stealing and demand, never taking into consideration the fact that these are men that are well past their prime. So it would serve them right to see their rock god with the big hair get up there and go, you might as well jump. Yes. Is it funny? To you, yes it is. To me, it's sad.
But about a Def Leppard, too.
Def Leppard has cancer.
Who?
What do you mean, who?
Who in the band has cancer?
I don't know, Phil. Def Leppard has cancer.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the whole band has it.
The whole band has it? Well, no, that's not what we're going to say. You don't know who has cancer in Def Leppard.
I can look it up. But the fact is, the band has cancer. And that Rocket, yeah. What if you heard him go, Rocket? See, these are the things that, well...
So are you saying they shouldn't go on tour?
I'm saying that Journey has a very good case. They could sue their fans for millions.
That ain't going to happen. That would be one of the most... That would be a disaster, a public relations disaster, the proportions of which I don't even want to consider. Journey sues its fans because Steve Perry has cancer. Van Halen sues its fans because David Lee Roth has a stroke. And for the comedic effect...
No, it's not comedic effect. If you go in a courtroom on a stroke, you got to say like that to demonstrate.
Well, they'd probably have him come in and do that.
Wouldn't you?
If I'm the attorney for Van Halen, you think I'm going to get David Lee Roth up in front of a courtroom, in front of a jury, and start singing Jump to demonstrate how he's butchering it up?
Yes, you have to. David, go ahead.
Might as well jump. Oh.
And, oh my God, I would be sad.
I think it's absurd beyond words.
I beg your pardon?
It's absurd beyond words.
What about Journey?
And Journey hasn't got a stroke, man. As long as we're talking about whole bands having diseases, they have cancer. And it says here, 3 weeks ago, a routine mole was taken off my face. This is Stephen Perry writing on June 6th on his blog. I've had two surgeries in 2 weeks to remove all the cancer cells. I've been told they think they got it all and no other treatments are required. That's very good. But while Perry, 64, had some good news for his fans, he also had a sad story to share. The Street Talk artist also wrote about losing his girlfriend, Kelly Nash, in December to breast cancer. God, that's brutal. They've been together for about a year and a half since Perry spotted her while his friend was editing footage for the Lifetime movie Five about five women battling cancer. Nash, who had undergone a double mastectomy, appeared in a closing segment and asked who she was. She was so strong and so courageous. Oh, this is just sad, man. He said, I've been trying to grieve and not run from this loss for the last 5 months. That's what I've been doing, along with recalling everything being in love with Kelly taught me. Wow. So, poor guy, man, Steve Perry, losing a woman that he loves and then being told, you know what, man, I'm going to be totally honest with any of it. There ain't nothing good, man, about getting older. Nothing, okay?
Well, that's ridiculous, Phil. I'm getting older, and I feel as if everything is just, I just feel very... Do. I could dance every morning.
Well, that's fine. But, you know, maybe I'm talking as a guy or something. I don't know. You know, but I mean, I can tell you this. I dig my life today more than I ever have. I appreciate my life today more than I ever have.
Then what is so bad about getting older?
It's because of getting older. It's because it sucks that I've decided that I'm going to just kick as much ass as I can and take as many names as I can and just enjoy as much as I can. One of the things that is, you really get this stale sort of, one of the most stale insults there is for somebody to say to you, hey, old man, something like that, right? Because it's like, are you kidding? That's supposed to be an insult? I mean, nobody can avoid it, you know? It's not like a character flaw.
Oh, you're old, man. You could have avoided that, you know, if you just drinked it more Ovaltine.
Yeah, okay. But it's also a place everybody's going to wind up sooner or later.
Well, a lot of people say, I'm going to die young.
Well, okay, go ahead and die young then, man. In fact, you could just go ahead and do it right now if you want. I mean, if you think dying young is what is going to happen to you, and you'd much rather die young than get old, you can end it tonight if you'd like.
Well, no, I think I'll have a few more years.
Well, until when, man? Like 40? Because when you hit 40, then everybody can legitimately say, you're old. That is the illegitimate... old guy, old chick age.
A lot of women is looking better at 40, more and more and more and more.
Uh-huh. Okay. I think so. I agree with you. But anyway, so what else do we got? So that's a drag. So I was rolling a little bit of Journey there during the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that. We also have some other news on, what is this? Another sober driver charged with DUI, even though he had a .0000 blood alcohol content. What in the... We'll be right back with that and more. Mr. and Mrs. Wheeler and, and the Johnny Two Sheets discussion continues here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show, our Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, a backstage pass. 1 month is $9.99. You get all of our live streaming video casts, you get our online archives, you get our daily podcast, and you also get, of course, our daily classic podcast. And today's classic podcast is, Bud?
Yeah, it's Art Griego I forget.
You forget, huh? It's Art Griego and the very famous Halloween 2000 broadcast of Witches and Goblins. Apparently, believe that, you know, you've got to be aware of these things. So it's pretty nuts, and it's our daily classic podcast. Today's is free, by the way. Our Monday classic podcast is always a free download. So check it out. See what you're missing from philhendryshow.com. You'll be glad you did. Okay, everybody's talking about this NSA leaker, you know, and...
Who's that?
This guy that leaked documents and everything. I thought, is this a different guy from the Bradley Manning guy, right?
Yeah, it was a different... Bradley Manning was that guy in the Army, and this other guy is just some geek.
He's some young man who's trying to tell the truth on what the Big Brother is doing, but the Big Brother is... I'm a supporter of President Obama, so I don't think it's President Obama.
Who is it, George Bush?
Oh, what does that mean? Who is he, George Bush? Are you saying that George Bush didn't do this?
No, that's the whole thing. George Bush did it. Obama's doing it. But these jackballs on Fox News, now they're trying to turn this into, oh, well, Obama.
Phil, don't start getting political. You'll get your ass handed to you every time. You might as well just... Here, I got it, Phil. Phil.
Don't even my ass handed me.
Oh, hold on. You might as well just... Know what I'm saying?
Isn't that funny? All right. Jesus, bud, what's with you?
Yeah, man, it sounds like you're taking laughing gas or something.
I didn't do anything wrong.
No, but that laugh of yours is...
What?
You sounded like a freaking hyena. All right, sober driver charged with DUI. An Ohio man was charged with DUI. Get a load of this. An Ohio man was charged with DUI after her was pulled over by police.
Well, obviously they mean an Ohio woman.
No, they mean an Ohio man. 64-year-old Jesse Thornton...
That could be a lady.
That could be a woman's name.
Mr. Thornton?
It still could be a misprint on the mister.
Or maybe they just are wrong when they said her.
Well, what other word could that be, Phil?
He?
Let me see. H-E-R. How do you spell it?
Let me see it.
I'll do it. H-E-R is her.
Yeah.
After he pulled over?
No, after he was.
I don't.
An Ohio man was charged with DUI after he was pulled over by the police despite the fact... What now?
Well, you should read it the way it's written, Phil.
Yeah.
Why?
The integrity and the honesty of the, and the truth of the news is at stake. Read it the way it's written, please.
Margaret, you don't direct things around here.
Get David Hall.
You don't... I don't give a damn if he does get David Hall. You don't direct things around here, understand? This is something that I'm in charge of. And, yeah, David?
I agree with Margaret in the sense, Phil, and by the way, thank you, Margaret, for calling me. It's a good thing we got the red light installed in the car here. Right now, we're on our way over to dinner. Aren't you going to ask...
How are you tonight, David? Everything good?
Yeah, it is, and Daphne's with me. She actually heard that, and she is the one that nudged me and said maybe you ought to give him a call. I would read it the way it's written.
Okay, that's great. Thank Daphne for me.
You're not going to give me an argument?
No, that's all right.
Well, obviously he doesn't mean that, David.
Yeah, we'll be monitoring. Thank you.
Would you mind if I just talk to him?
I'm just trying to keep the program honest.
All right, I'll read it the way it's written. An Ohio man was charged with DUI after her was pulled over by the police, despite the fact that a breathalyzer test showed he had a blood alcohol content of 0.000. 64-year-old Jesse Thornton, who now lives in Surprise, Arizona, said cops told him...
I see that. My God, it does exist. How about that?
What are you doing, Margaret?
Surprise, Arizona, you jackass. Don't you recognize it?
Yeah, that's the name of the movie with Frank Sinatra.
The name of the movie with Frank Sinatra, huh?
Yeah.
The name of that movie was Suddenly.
But wasn't it the name of a town?
Yes. So you're telling me they're basing it on this town? Maybe they were. I don't know.
That doesn't excite you?
No, it doesn't, quite frankly. I could give a damn. 64-year-old Jesse Thornton, who now lives in Surprise, Arizona, said cops told him that they could tell he was drunk simply by looking at him. Mr. Thornton explained that in the evenings he runs errands and goes to the gym, but a late night swim might have led to the DUI accusation. He was arrested for DUI despite having nothing in his system. Surprise Police Department paperwork shows Thornton was pulled over for crossing the white line in his lane. An officer walked up and said, "I can tell you're driving DUI by looking in your eyes." I take my glasses off and he says, "You've got bloodshot eyes." And he said, "Well, you know, I've been swimming." It's no surprise he's being harassed by local police, having been pulled over 10 times. I couldn't even sit on the ground like that, and they knew it, and I was like laying on the ground. Then they put me in the back of an SUV, and I asked the officer to move her seat up because my hip hurt, and she told me to stop whining. Thornton said two other officers arrived, and they conducted the sobriety test. With a BAC of 0.000, the situation should have been resolved quickly, but Thornton was evaluated for possible drug use as well. Yes, I do the breathalyzer, and it comes back 0.000. Mr. Thornton told police his eyes were likely red because he had just come from a local swimming pool. While in custody, a drug recognition expert, a DRE, is called in to test him. After he did all the tests, he says, "I would never have arrested you. You show no signs of impairment." I've been stopped 10 times and surprised and given 4 tickets. It's amazing, Mr. Thornton said. He was released after police found no evidence of alcohol in his blood. However, his car was still impounded for 3 days. He's now suing the surprise police department. I then get this message that my license is being suspended and I have to take some sort of drinking class or something, he said. Mr. Thornton now claims that it wasn't DUI, but motivated by... dun 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 dun. What?
Well, I don't know.
He's black. I was driving while black, he proclaimed. I just don't want any of this to happen to somebody else. His latest incident with surprise police officers prompted him to hire a lawyer with plans to sue the department for $500,000. I would.
Now, wait just a minute, Mr. Henry. That's a mistake. That...
Uh-huh. You know what I think is really interesting? I held back the fact that he was black till the end of the story. I'll bet you anything, knowing you, bud, you would have said, yeah, those cops.
Yeah, you would have, man.
No, not necessarily.
Yes, you would have. You would have said, yeah, look at how those cops are hassling this guy. How stupid can you be? They pulled a guy over 10 times. Obviously, there's something with his, you know, the way that this man's body processes stress or processes fatigue. It makes it look like he's drunk, whatever. They pulled a guy over 10 times already, so they know there's an issue with this gentleman. He's 60-some-odd years old. Who knows? But they know it has nothing to do with alcohol being impaired. And now, because when you find out he's black... Now you're on the side of the cops.
I didn't say that. I just said, how do you know that it wasn't made something else like crack?
Yeah, I'm saying it's crack, man.
Hey, watch it. Yeah, crack. I think it's pretty interesting. I should have gone through that whole story and never mentioned the guy's race at all and then asked people what they thought. I bet you everybody, too, because I've done those stories before. I've done a million of those stories before. I did a story about a lady. I think it was Texas. We'll talk about it when we come back. She was tased by this young cop because she would not stand still and take the ticket that he was writing. She tried to get in the car. She got tased. Everybody came out against the cop in this old lady's favor. And I said on the air, I bet you anything, if that woman had been black, it would have been the other way around. And,
well, you don't know that.
Yeah, I do. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
What, where is
it? Don't worry, it's kind of about a giant duck.
I'm not saying you got... Hold on for a minute. Turn that down. We're looking for this giant duck.
I don't know where the giant duck is, okay?
How do you lose a giant duck, bud?
Not my responsibility.
It isn't his responsibility, but there's... There. Now, if you look on Phil TV in HD, in Pittsburgh, this giant duck has arrived. Now, wait a second. That's not it, is it? That's some amphibious duck bus. What the hell's going on around here?
Man, I don't thought about the giant duck.
Just ducky tours? Oh, you get out of here. I had that duck dead to rights, man. Okay? And,
what do you mean, dead to rights?
I just played a video that showed that giant duck in Hong Kong, and Dan tells me it's a... There's a giant duck, and when I say giant duck, it's a big rubber duck, folks. Oh, wait a minute. I think I've found it. It's a big rubber duck, and what this thing is supposedly, it is an environmental... It's a statement of solidarity when it comes to environmentalism, et cetera, so on and so forth. And I did have a video of it in... I think it was Hong Kong, and today, apparently, it has arrived in the grand city of Pittsburgh, the city of the three rivers, right? The city of the, you know, the good times. So I wanted to check this out to see if we had any video on this, and I believe we do. Giant rubber duck leaves Hong Kong. Giant leaves Hong Kong. Giant duck. Where the hell is this damn duck in Pittsburgh, man?
Well, we'll find it, Phil.
All right. I actually have a video of it here in front of me, but I can't get the... I can't get the link over there right now. I do want to get Dean Wheeler and Emerelda Wheeler on the line here from Novato, California, as we continue this discussion of the Native American ceremony that they held in their yard, Emerelda's singing career, the shooting death of Johnny Two Sheets from the Native American Council. Dean, you are planning a ceremony there tonight, correct?
That is correct, Phil. We are planning a ceremony here in Northern California Holistic Center, and this will be another one of our purification ceremonies. I was asked by Bill Caldwell, who's a private investigator here in the Novato area, if I would not mind doing this Native American purification ceremony one more time in the hopes of baiting or otherwise outing whoever had shot Johnny Two Sheets. I asked him about the possibility that these squirrels, no one wants to listen to me. All right, fine.
Well, I mean, that's a little far-fetched.
It may be far-fetched, but the fact of the matter remains it was, I thought it was a viable argument, and I did not want my wife to take the heat on this by herself. I have, and again, I have to ask you, why are you showing pictures of a duck when we're talking about the death of Johnny Two Sheets and my wife's singing career?
This is, I'm sorry, I wanted to get this image up on the screen because I've been telling people about it.
Excuse me, Dean, you're not the only one in this world.
Who is speaking, please?
This is Margaret Gray.
Well, Margaret, I thought you were, wow, I mean.
You know, I'm not completely on your side. This is not all about you. We've been looking for these pictures of this duck.
Well, you can look for ducks all you want.
We're not looking for a duck. It's a giant rubber duck.
A giant rubber duck? And my wife, her freedom is at stake, and there's a dead man in my yard? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know...
No, there's not a dead man in your yard now.
No, but there was. And,
I think you've only got yourself to blame for that. Now, Phil, would you continue with the duck, please?
Excuse me, Phil, are you telling her? Is she...
Margaret, hold on for a minute. If you wouldn't mind, Dean, let me just tell people. This is the giant duck that came over from Hong Kong, and now it's there in Pittsburgh.
So that is Pittsburgh. That's look at how lovely Pittsburgh is. Remember when it used to be, everyone said Pittsburgh was such a horrible hole. It was really just a hole where people would go and throw themselves in to die. And now it is a gleaming, glowing, lovely city there in the summer with the big duck. Isn't that lovely? I love that.
You know, Margaret, you can distract all you want from the problems that I'm having and that Emeralda's having and that...
Johnny Two Sheet.
Well, Johnny Two Sheet's got no problems anymore.
Johnny Two Sheet's got gunned out of a tree for reasons that we're still looking at.
Oh, are you? Well, thank you, Detective Sergeant Gray. For my money, I have come on this program.
All right, let me do this, all right? I don't know if we got Bill Caldwell or not. He is the private investigator who had the theory about this, the squirrels. But in any event, we are talking with Dean Wheeler, and I know that you have the Native American Council ready to gear up and begin another purification process this evening. Are you in the yard now?
We're coming out in the back, and Emeralda, honey, could you shut the sliding glass door? Well, if you've got dip, bring the dip. Yeah, they're playing. You can hear them playing, Phil?
Yes, I can.
All right. That is. Okay, that's Pete Thunderbear, and I think that's his brother-in-law, Pete. Okay. Pete Wallaby? Pete Wallaby and Pete Thunderbear.
Now, what, they're with the Northern California...
They're with the Chumash Tribal. Pete Thunderbear, Pete Wallaby, Pete Walking Man, and Pete Crawling Man. Here's Pete Stroke Man. Not Pete Stroke Man, I'm just joking there, but that is Jerry. Okay, Jerry. Thanks, Jerry. Set up over there. They're bringing their bongos in, or whatever you call them. What, honey? They're not bongos, Phil.
Well, they're Native American percussion instruments.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, Phil, I believe I'm the one that's more conversant with Native American culture. If I call them bongos, when you say Native American percussion instruments, it sounds extremely affected.
I know what he's saying, Phil.
Oh, well, okay. I don't want to sound affected. I want to sound authentic, like you, Dean.
Excuse me. I may not be authentic. I've come a long way, Phil, from a heroin bust in New Jersey, beating Emeralda, and now I manage her career. All right, so everybody's setting up. We've got two bear, whatever the hell he's called. There's Jimmy Papa Bear, Jerry Mama Bear, and...
Is there a baby bear?
Is there baby bear? God, how I hate you.
Well...
All right, so they're setting up now, and let's bring in my next-door neighbors are here.
Clara and Elvin Wood, how are you guys? Huh?
Real good.
Are you looking forward to the purification process? Can you hear them, Phil?
No, Nick, get the phone closer to them.
Are you looking forward to the purification process?
What do you call it?
The purification. I misspoke. I said plurification.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it, and it looks really interesting.
And how about you, Mr. Wood?
I think it's kind of, well, it looks Native American. It looks authentic.
You very much want to do it and everything.
Okay, so go over here to the end of the metal that's being heated right now. I've got three electricians in, and the Native Americans. You see the flute music?
Yeah, it's very authentic.
Well, try not to act like a clod, you know, because it's... Okay, boy, things sure have changed, Phil. Used to be back in the hippie times, everybody was kind of into the groove. Now I got, you know, these... Okay, now what we're going to be doing, and I hope that this is something that we can all... Okay. Hey.
What is that? Okay, now I'm hearing squirrels.
Yeah, it's up... Shut up. Shut your holes. Okay.
All right, what's going on?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. All right. And you can hear Billy Two Bears and Martin Wallaby.
And what's that?
That's the name. Those are their names.
Billy Two Bears?
Phil, don't. You've got no business mocking Indian names, okay?
I'm not trying to mock them. The names seem to be changing. Didn't you have Jerry Daddy Bear?
Yeah, I did. You going to make a joke out of that?
Phil, why don't you grow up?
What do you mean? He's telling me about Daddy Bear, Mama Bear, and Baby Bear.
Thank you very much.
Oh, come on, man.
But you're the one who did it.
I didn't do anything. What a lightweight. Now we got to call this guy back?
Well, Phil, if you want to have the purification process on and see if we can recreate the gunplay from the other night.
I heard squirrels. Are you trying to tell me that, here they come. Better go up there and frisk them.
Well, probably wouldn't be a bad idea. But now all of you talk about Baby Bear.
Now, Mr. Henry, you talk about Baby Bear. He felt very mocked.
I don't care how he feels. This guy, Dean Wheeler, and his wife, they really have got to get a grip on reality. They've been butting into this show. Everything's got to be it's all got to be their way. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and shut up, because my wife's singing, and I can't talk about it right now, because Emerald is up there with the horn player. I'm telling you, man. Now he's got the Chumash Council in there, and Jerry Daddy Bear, and Baby Bear, and they're all playing their music.
Well, look at you mocking the native culture. People that were butchered by the hundreds of thousands, and you think it's funny.
No, I do not think that's funny. No, I don't. I'll tell you what I think mocks them. This crap that Dean's having at his house right now.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly what I said. Mr. Suburbia up there with his holistic council. These white people that are trying to mix and mingle, they bug the hell out of me.
Yeah, I'm saying I kind of agree with you.
You can't say nothing about it. You're not no Indian.
No, I got Indian blood in me.
Yeah, no you don't. Just because you're black doesn't mean there's Indian too.
What's that supposed to mean?
All black people think they're part Indian just on account of to legitimize it.
Why don't you shut up, bud?
Well,
just be quiet. All right, so I got to work on getting this guy back on the air because he can't take a joke about Baby Bear, Daddy Bear, and Mama Bear.
I'm telling you, Phil, you should stop.
And in the meantime, while we are getting him back on the line, there's the duck in Pittsburgh floating along. If I can get some video out of that, I certainly will try. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, final segment of this hour. Coming up, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, you happy? We found it, the giant duck. It's not a giant, it's a four-story high duck that's in the Three Rivers there in Pittsburgh, and so that's where that's at. I can't waste any more time with it.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say this. This is Margaret Gray.
I have a guest on the line.
I know that. Get him up on the line. Dean, hi. Dean, this is Margaret Gray. Dean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Margaret.
I just want to say one more thing about the duck, and we'll get back to you.
You people...
I know.
You're probably cursing you out.
No, I know. Hold on. The duck that was in Hong Kong is not the same duck that is coming to the United States. That I find dishonest. That I find disingenuous.
Why?
Well, I think that we expect that if you say there's a giant duck, or the giant rubber duck, or this Netherlands artist, you say, oh, isn't this interesting? He's bringing his duck here. Well, no, he isn't. Unless that's a euphemism for something more personal, and I'm not trying to be funny, but in a way I am. You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, that's very funny. Okay, I'm sorry, Margaret. It's not that funny.
Fine. He didn't bring the duck anywhere. The duck is in Hong Kong, and that's where it'll stay. And a new duck will be developed or built here in America, in Pittsburgh. I'm Margaret Gray.
Thank you, Margaret, for that report.
You're welcome. You don't have to be sarcastic.
I'm not being... All right, Dean, so...
By the way, let me just say, Margaret, this is Dean Wheeler. I'm very, very appreciative of the duck report, and that was really great. Jesus.
Oh, what a smartass.
Well, you know something? We're wasting a lot of very valuable time. I've had the flute players. I put them on hold here. Emeralda, are you ready to go? All right. Jerry Two Bears, one, two, and a one, two, three. All right. And I'll bring my neighbors Elvin Wood over, along with Marguerite, his wife. And now we begin the purification process, Elvin. You will walk across this white-hot metal in your bare feet.
Okay.
And at the other end, you will enter into the porthole of awareness. Now, as I bring down the shroud, which, okay, there, you see that? Have I...
Well, don't... Okay, so you've got squirrels.
Really? Is that what they are? I didn't know that. I've got a man that's dead. A dead man. A dead man who was shot.
Okay, I understand you got a guy that was shot. You don't need to talk about the squirrels so much as what was in that gym bag that your wife had.
Emeralda, did you shoot? Oh, boy.
Go at it again.
Did you shoot Johnny Two Sheets? She's shaking her head. No, she did not. See what I'm saying? See that? Okay. All right, and now come across.
That's it. Just ignore them.
That's what I'm trying to do. Now come across the white-hot metal, Elvin.
It hurts.
Hurts, doesn't it, huh?
Yeah.
All right, just come on. Continue walking across.
You want to shut him up?
Okay, hold on. Hold everything. Shut up. Shut up. Thank you. All right, continue walking. Shut up. All right, I'm going up the tree.
Wait a minute, that's exactly what happened to Johnny Two Sheets.
Do I look like I care? I'm going up the tree. Hey, shut your hole. Shut your hole. Shut. I'm going up the tree, Phil. I'm coming up the bark. Now, keep playing. Don't you guys stop playing. All right, Elvin, keep walking on the metal.
You laggy.
That's right. Thought I was... Come on.
What are you doing, man?
I'm shooting at him. Come on. Say something. God, I keep missing. Come on. Damn it. I can't hit the broadside of a bar. Come on.
Are you shooting at the squirrels?
No, I'm shooting at the sun. Yes, I'm shooting at the squirrels. Look at that. Had no effect at all. No effect. I gotta reload. God.
You know something, Dean?
No, I gotta reload. Hand me those. Give me those shells, Emeralda. Give me the shells. Out of the bag. One, two, three.
Dean,
shut up. I'm going to do this my way. One, I got it. Yeah, look at it. See? Come on. You got it? Come on. Are they dead? Oh, come on.
Yeah, obviously you're not hitting any of them.
You think so? Come on, you dirty. Come on. I'm coming down the tree.
Might as well.
I failed.
Look, Dean, I think it's ridiculous to think that squirrels are the ones that are causing the mayhem that if, you know...
Yeah, you hear that? Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
All right, Dean, I'm going to break, okay?
Yeah, go ahead and break at my moment of failure. You go right ahead and break. That's perfectly fine. You're shut up! No, it's not doing anything.
Hold the line.
Yeah.
Sounded to me like the...
Well, it sounded like the Native American Council had suspended the music.
He's obviously not himself. I don't know how many rounds he fired off and missed every time.
Yeah, not like the squirrels ain't there. They're right in front of him.
Well, you don't know, man. You ever try to shoot it up?
If I ever try to shoot out with a squirrel? No, I never had a shootout.
I didn't say shootout, man. I said you ever try to shoot one.
No.
You mean a shootout?
I didn't say shootout.
No, Bud, you said it.
You ever had a shootout with a squirrel?
No, I've never had a shootout with a squirrel, which means they'd be shooting back.
That's what they seem to think.
There ain't no way, okay? And I've never had a shoot... I'll tell you right now, Dean Wheeler sounds like he's ready to just come unglued. I don't even think that guy's... He's not playing with a full deck right now. He's in big, big trouble, and it's getting worse as the minutes go by. Listening to that guy, he went up the tree, he couldn't get him for love or money, and came back down the tree, and now he's reloading, and God knows what else he's doing. And he's only firing like one shot at a time. I don't know.
Well, I haven't heard Emerelda in any of that, and I know that she's got a singing date later on, either tonight or tomorrow night, and that's going to be difficult. So it's anybody's guess at this particular time, Phil, what is going to be happening there. Okay, what is this?
Okay, Bud?
Yeah, get up there.
Hi, Phil. It's Dean Wheeler, and we've started the second phase. I don't give a damn about the squirrels. I'm going to ignore them. All right. Yeah, that's great. Okay. I don't care about them. We're doing phase two of the purification now, as Elvin and his wife will be going over the heated battle. That's it. Don't pay any attention to them. Don't pay any attention to them.
I thought I was doing.
Don't pay any attention to them. All right. May the Great Spirit, as has been foretold, and oh God, kill it, you guys! Hey, two bears, knock it off! It ain't working, man.
I paid for it.
I don't give a damn what you paid for. It ain't working, okay? And
I won't listen to that at all.
Well, yes.
So either they get that private investigator over there with his theory on squirrels, or they get a cop over there, or get an ambulance, or get somebody with a hypodermic full of Thorazine or something, because Dean done gone wacky. World famous Phil Hendry Show back with our final hour right after this. Yeah, that was a very interesting... I was just talking to the crew here. I saw, you know, one of my favorite channels of all time in the history of the human race is Investigation Discovery, although I won't go so far as to say that I'm addicted. And I know they now have the ID addict thing, you know.
I think that's fun. Aren't you a part of that whole... that scene, that little atmosphere?
No, I'm not a part of that scene. No. I don't like that. In fact, I think they jumped the... I don't want to say they jumped the shark, because that's meaning that they're over. The Investigation Discovery's not over, but look, if people dig you, let them dig you. Don't turn it into a Mickey Mouse Club right away.
Well, I just, you know, people are, they're trying to maximize it.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to say, hey, everybody likes the channel, let's maximize that for the potentiality.
Yes.
Maximize it for the potentiality. You know, I'm so sorry that I ever let you see Carlito's Way, because it butchered your ability to speak the English language.
Very good, Phil.
Thank you.
What are you talking about?
Look, all I'm telling you is I like Investigation Discovery. So I was watching this thing today, and I saw that story of that Jasmine Fiore.
Oh, my God. She was the little model.
Well, little.
Little, yes. I'm not talking about the size of her breasts.
Yeah, that was the lady they found out about.
They found out this Jasmine Fiore. That was a story that was something to behold, man. I'm watching this thing because that Aphrodite Jones was talking about it. Is that her name?
Oh, you got the hots for her, don't you?
No, I don't. It's that crime writer, Aphrodite Jones. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Anyway, she was talking about that case, and it was, I remember the case because I was in the hospital at the time, and I heard about it, and I thought I was hallucinating. It was so bizarre. It was the most messed up thing I ever heard in my life. They found this girl. She was killed by her husband. Now, the thing about this that made it so sick and twisted, and I guess typically Hollywood, was that the husband was a contestant on a show called Megan Wants to Marry a Millionaire. Do you remember the show?
No, I don't. Those shows are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, is that the lady, Heidi, those two people?
You mean the people from Survivor? Was that those two idiots? No. Remember them? What was their name?
I know who you're talking about. It was a husband and wife team, and everyone hated her living guts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I we're going to have to look that one up, because I remember they were the talk of the town for the longest time. Anyway, this poor Jasmine Fiore, she marries this scumbag from Megan Wants to Marry a Millionaire. Now, he meets her in Vegas. They get married. And I guess she thought he was exciting and wonderful and marvelous because, let's face it, you know, when it comes to... What do they tell you about psychopaths? They're the most charming guy in the bar. It's the most charming guy in the place.
Well, Phil, I don't think that's...
No. That's exactly what Dr. Stone said, okay?
You're saying when you meet a man who is cultured and has style and has flair... And has... Hold on, bud, I'm not done.
Yeah, but...
Hold on, I'm not done. You meet a man with education. You meet a man who has well-tailored suits. You meet a man who drives a beautiful car.
Yeah, he's a scumbag.
He's not a scumbag.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think Bud's taking a little...
The guy's a scumbag.
The man has a degree from Harvard. The man...
Scumbag.
No, he's not a scumbag. We're talking about any guy that is charming.
Well, that's what I find charming.
All right. I'm saying if you go into a typical meat market type bar on a Friday night, okay, and you meet some guy, and as a matter of fact, Chris Norton, who we have often had on the program, he's a perfect example of this because Chris does the whole bar scene. He does the Rusty Pelican, I guess, in Hermosa Beach. And what we ought to do is bring him on after the break. Can you do that, bud?
Well, get him now, huh?
No, I just got done saying to you, bring him on after the break. Okay, can you handle that?
Yeah, not now, after the break. When I call him now.
What did I just say to you, man?
He said after the break.
Oh.
After the break, call him up. And let's get him on, because I think that what we need here, really, is sort of a snapshot into that world, you know? A place... What is this?
Chris Norton.
Mr. Henry, yeah, it's Chris Norton.
Hold on for a second, Chris, okay?
Yes, sir, but I don't...
What did I just say to you, man?
Well, he's got him now, Phil. You might as well talk to him.
Yeah.
What did I just say? No, I'm not going to... What did I just say to you?
Put him on after the break, but I'd already dialed the number.
You'd already dialed the number. Could you have put him on hold? Could you have hung up?
Well, he'd already answered.
He'd already answered. So when I said put him on after the break...
Pretty much he'd already answered, said hello, and agreed to be on the air.
So you guys basically told me, hey, why don't we go ahead and get Chris Norton after you'd called him, and you already had him, and you already said he was going to go on the air, and pretty much it was just a fait accompli, and anything that Phil had to say about it, you would not listen to.
Yeah, we don't speak French.
What do you mean you don't speak French?
Well, that fait accompli?
Put him on the... Get him on there.
Well, I mean, we can hold him over.
Get him on the... Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing real good, Mr. Herring. How are you doing?
Good. Chris, we're talking about this Jenkins, this guy that killed Jasmine Fiore. You know the story?
Yeah, I do. I'm a little bit familiar with it. Yeah, she was a model. She was very beautiful and very tasty. She is pretty typical, I think, of a lot of, you know, very high-end, very high-class, very tasty.
Okay, that's fine, but the poor girl was murdered by this guy.
No, I understand that, yes, sir.
Okay, and this guy, This is the kind of guy that, as I've said, is the most charming guy in the joint. This is the kind of guy that is going to charm a girl into thinking that he just thinks she's great, that he loves her, that he thinks that there's no other woman above her. In other words, he's the kind of guy that can make a woman feel really good.
I think it probably is either he's a psychopath, like you were saying, or he can be me. And what I mean by me is, I'm not a psychopath, but I have, and again, this is kind of difficult for me to talk about, Mr. Henry, but I do have such, I'm good looking to the point where if I pay attention to women in a bar situation, they will tend to think that I am, you know, that they're pretty special. You see what I'm saying about?
Not exactly.
Well, I'm saying,
Chris, this is Margaret. Are you saying that because you're so handsome, if you pay attention to a woman, she must think she's beautiful?
Yes, ma'am. Pretty much, yeah.
Well, you don't have to call me ma'am. My name is Margaret.
No, but I mean, that's sort of what we're talking about. So, if I say to a girl or a woman who's at a Rusty Pelican one night, I say, you know, you look very lovely, and you look kind of sexy, and would you like me to buy you a cocktail or something? And she'll say, yeah. And right away, because I said she was sexy, she feels the sexual energy, see? And she feels there's a sexuality. And she thinks that she's sexy.
Okay, so in other words, you're not a psychopath. Just the fact that you tell her she's beautiful, she is charmed because you're good-looking.
But pretty much, yeah, because throughout most of my life, I've been very good-looking, and women are... And it's, like I say, it's nothing that I try to play up. It just is, I'm trying to be sincere when I say that I do have a lot of sensuality. So when women are complimented by me, they feel that they have sense or have a sense energy. They feel the sense. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, okay. So they feel sexy as the result of that. Now, you're not a psychopath, though. You're not going to take this girl back to your apartment and murder her.
No. I mean, that's sort of, I don't understand that. I mean, I don't need to do any of that. Like I said, fortunately for me, my sexuality and my sensuality enables me to, you know, any woman that's with me is going to be very sexually attracted to me. And is going to submit to my sense. Okay?
All right, so in other words, you don't have to do much more than just be you, and they're all in love with you. And
well, I'm not trying to be egotistical or nothing, but...
No, I understand that.
Well, it sounds a little egotistical. You're talking about your sexuality and your sensuality and this and that. So you're saying, and what do you mean the woman is going to submit to your sex?
I think Ms. Gray, all I'm saying is that because of I'm handsome... that women will submit to the set.
All right, I understand what he's saying. Now we get to the psychopath, the guy that may not be as handsome as you, may not be as sexy as you, but nonetheless, this guy, have you ever seen guys like this?
There, occasionally. You got to understand something, Mr. Henry. If I'm in a Rusty Pelican on a Friday night, and I'm with Steve Babkin or Jeff Bodine or... our guy Babcock, these are my three best friends that I have, and all three of these guys are sexy guys. They got really hot girlfriends, but they're sexy. And
what are these guys?
These are my friends, Guy Babcock, Steve Bodine, and Jeff Velour.
Jeff Velour.
Well, it's not important or anything. I mean,
why do you need to write down the names?
Not. I just thought.
I mean, they are three male models. That's who you want to write down. One of them is an adult film.
Is he in adult films?
Yeah.
Which one?
Jeff Velour. I know it's Steve Bodine did some adult film. He did some gay porn, which, well, I probably shouldn't have said.
All right, that's as far as I want to go with that. Let's just take a break. I want to get back here and talk about the bar scene. And the safety of women is really what I want to get into here. How safe are women? What should you be looking for? We have with us Chris Norton, who is a pharmaceutical salesman from the South Bay area of Los Angeles and also spends quite a bit of time In the sort of the bar scene there on the beach. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back after these very important messages. Don't forget philhendryshow.com for your backstage pass to all of the proceedings.
Truth.
Yes, about the video cast.
Yes.
Phil Hendry Show.
I got to try my sister right now, and then I'll be back.
Your who?
My sister.
Joining us this evening, Chris Norton. We started out the hour, Chris, talking about the Jasmine Fiore case. Her husband murdered her, and he, took off. It was a fugitive. He was tracked down by the American and Canadian authorities, eventually in Canada, where he committed suicide by hanging himself in a motel room there in Hope, British Columbia. But before that, his wife's remains were discovered in some dumpster in Buena Park, California. Meanwhile, he's off trying to make his way to the Canadian border. And I believe at some point the American Border Patrol and the Canadian border authorities were on the lookout for this guy. And somehow he made his way into Canada. The reason why I'm bringing that up is these people are... they're good, you know. They're good at charming women. They're good at charming everybody. They're good at facilitating they're like weasels or something, man. I don't know how else to describe it, you know.
Well, Mr. Henry, I see in Rusty Pelican or some of the places where we go and just relax. Because, I work just as hard as anybody. I do pharmaceutical, telemarketing. I also, on the weekends, am trying to start up my own film production company, and I also have a mobile party business called Norton Explodes.
And that's the mobile party, like a DJ service?
Yeah, I've had DJ party hosting and all that. I do see some, but you have to understand, when myself, Guy Babcock, Steve Budde, and Jeff Allure, when we eventually do enter the Rusty Pelican, it's generally understood that, and again, I'm trying not to be egotistical, because I'm really not. It's just that we are, I don't know how you want to say it, but I mean, I was blessed and I got, I'm good looking. As Jeff Bodine and Steve Allure, Steve Bodine and Jeff Allure and Guy Babcock. And that, again, is even though they did gay porn.
All right, you're talking about gay porn. Is that something you
Well, I didn't mean to say nothing about it, but what I am trying to say is that Steve and Guy were in, or not Steve and Guy, but Steve and Jeff were in a gay porn film. But because they're both very, 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 very heterosexual, and when I say they're heterosexual, I'm saying that they are so heterosexual that they can do a gay porn, and it's not going to have no effect on women that they meet.
Well, how many of these women have seen them in these films?
I think when it comes to Jeff and to myself and Steve and Guy and Chris and I'm Chris, and just every Bill. I think we do meet a lot of gals that have, seen us.
All right. So your point being what? You guys are so handsome that you blow away any psychopath in the bar?
Well,
Mr. Henry's laughing a little bit. I don't know why. Why are you laughing, Phil?
Well, so that's what Chris is saying to me. I'm trying to get the lowdown here on dangerous psychopaths that he may have seen in the bars that he goes into, whether it's the... Where else do you go, Chris?
Well, we go to Josh Logan's in Newport Beach. We probably go to...
What was that again?
Josh Logan's. That's down Newport Beach. If we go down to Orange County, we'll probably go down to Josh Logan's, Newport Beach, go to Little Shrimp and Laguna. And
Now Laguna Beach is pretty far south, isn't it?
Well, if you're intimating that Laguna Beach has a large gay area, is that what you're trying to say?
No, I didn't say anything about that. I said it's pretty far south.
Yeah, you're bringing it up, though. You're trying to say he goes down to the gay area.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't. You know something, Chris? The record can show that you brought up the fact that you've got two friends that have done gay porn. I'm not bringing up anything having to do with anything. I'm just asking you, where have you been so that I can compare, you know, these different scenes and the predatory psychopaths. We're talking about this one guy. He met his wife in Vegas.
Yeah, the guy that you're talking about, this Jenkins, met his wife, Jasmine Fiore, in Vegas. And I don't know the bar. It might be Hard Rock. It could have been Ruth Sissy Sis. There's a bar up there called Little Sisser, and there's Ruth Sissy Sis.
And what is it called?
Route 66. Is that it, Jeff?
Yeah. And Ruth Sissy Sis. And also there's Little Sisser, Ruth Sissy Sis. There's also the Cistern.
The what? The Sister?
No, the Cistern.
The Cistern.
The Cistern, that's the bar?
Yeah, and all of these are some of the top, bars for singles to go into. And I'm sure that one of those, that's where he met her. And their sexuality just came, they probably had sex, you know, probably with their eyes they had sex. And probably his sex and her sex, and combined to make a sexual, sexual energy that they, if you're meeting at a place, doesn't matter. You could be at the Ruth Sissy Sis, you'd be a little sister, your sex is going to be, it'll be sense about.
I don't understand what he's saying.
Hold on. We're talking to Chris Norton here from Hermosa Beach. All right. When you guys walk into a bar, you and Steve Bodine.
Well, Mr. Henry, you're laughing because I rolled the dice and told you that Steve and Jeff had been in gay porn. And
no, I'm not laughing at that. I totally forgot about that.
Well,
man, you keep bringing it up, and you said that you didn't want to bring that up because you've got two friends out there now, and these are two straight guys that did gay porn. I got nothing against this myself.
I don't either.
Okay. Then why are we dancing around this?
Well, it's pretty obvious.
I wouldn't want anybody to know about me.
Well, if they, did they need the money?
The money's pretty hard to pass up. I mean, I wouldn't take it, but Jeff and Steve decided to go for it, and they know each other, and they're comfortable having, engaging in it.
Wait a minute. Were these two guys in a gay scene together?
Yeah, I mean, the scene was, I don't know if you heard me or not, but it was gay. It was a gay scene that the two of them, they played, I forget what it was called. It was called sex. It was a sex saloon or something like that. A sex saloon. And
what is it? Sex saloon?
Sex saloon, yeah.
Well, no, he said sex saloon.
No, it's called sex saloon, like Mr. Harry say.
Sex saloon.
Yeah. And they played two. I think they were both. Dealers. Of a car like blackjack or something, and they had sex.
All right. Well, I don't know anything about it. I just wanted to. All right. So that's fine. But I want to know more about the bar scene.
Well, you're talking about sex saloon, and so their notoriety. And
well, I don't care about sex saloon. Okay.
Well, you're talking about a bar scene.
Yeah. Was there the psychopaths at sex saloon?
This is a movie. Do you understand?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sex Saloon's a movie, and
I'm having a hard time. Is it called Sex Saloon? Is it French?
Sex Saloon.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right.
Yeah, it's called Sex Saloon, and it starred Jeff Valeur, Steve Bodine, Mr. Mist, and the Blue Avenger. And
Mr. Mist. That's the name of one of the actors.
Yeah, I mean, that's his day's name, man.
And the Blue Avenger?
Blue Revenger, Blue Revenger.
Okay, and what's his name?
No, that was a female, but kind of butch. And anyway, they're all in the saloon when the two blackjack dealers decide to have sex. And there's a whole plot to it. I mean, it's very interesting.
Yeah. All right, hold on for a minute. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Chris Norton is with us as we talk about Phil Sex Saloon.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We welcome you back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and remind you that if you don't have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website, you're blowing it. Because with a backstage pass, you have access to over 4,500 hours, close to 5,000 hours of original Phil Hendry radio shows going back over a decade. These radio shows, revolutionary in their concept and in their execution, and they recognized worldwide by broadcasters hither, thither, and yon as some of the most inventive radio ever, if we do say so ourselves. So check it out. For those of you who've never heard the Phil Hendry Show, the archived shows live, you should check them out at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You also see our video cast that we have every night here of our show. We have a podcast of each and every show that we deliver directly to you. We have a video cast archive. We have a year's worth of video cast and audio casts of our Los Angeles show that we did on Saturday nights. And as I said to you, all of the radio shows that we've done over the last close to 15 years now, available to you there at philhendryshow.com. We are about to unveil a brand new design. We have on demand for for iPhone and iPad users. We will have live streaming for iPhone and iPad users as soon as our new design is rolled out, which I am assured should take place very, very soon.
When are they going to do that?
Yeah, a lot of people are calling up and everybody's...
Take it easy, okay? I talked to the guys. The fault lies with me. Okay, the fault lies entirely with me. I get overenthusiastic. I come on the air and I go on my feed before the show. We do our backstage pass feed. And Chris, I apologize.
No, I'm sorry. I know a lot of people who are subscribers to the Phil Hendry website and want to know that.
Are you a subscriber?
No, I'm not. I don't really have time. The only subscription that I probably have online is for Norton's Blode. Norton's Blode Film, and also Velour, which is going to be Jeff Velour's adult film company.
Okay, so you have subscriptions.
Yeah, basically porn subscriptions. But.
Okay, but in any event, so make a long story short, it's my fault because I get enthusiastic. I tell everybody, oh, yeah, rolling out pretty soon, and I don't really, I overestimated or underestimated, whatever you say, I overestimated how easy it is to, or underestimate some, whatever the word is, how easy it is to move such a massive amount of archival material. And that has been really what has been the job. It's just a slow process because we have so much. We're going to have to, as it is, we're going to have to restart all of the logs, most likely. You have to make sure that the files are attached to a page. You have to make sure that it is just insane. And there's just no, I don't think there's anything that's been developed that makes a quick and easy job of moving 5,000 hours of audio from one site, or from one platform or from one host to another. So there you go.
I will say, Mr. Henry, it's a lot of material, and I do know a lot of people who have bad day pat. A couple of people, like my sister, I told you about my sister, has a backstage pass. And,
God, got your sister?
Yeah, she has a backstage pass. There is, a lot of...
What's your sister's name, by the way?
Cecilia.
Cecilia, okay.
Yeah, my sister is Cecilia, and, my brother is, Steve, and my father is Seymour, really, I was like to say my father Seymour what, you know, because my mother had a boob job when, I don't know, probably when I was about 15 or something, and probably Seymour boob or something. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. All right, so...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's fine. So, all right, so get a backstage pass. Back with Chris Norton here as we talk about... So when you guys go into the Rusty Pelican at night, and again, we're talking about how women, single women, can be safe from predators. You're not a predator, Chris, I know that. Your friends, Mr. Velour and...
Jeff and... none of us. We are considered to be, by a lot of the women, a lot of babes that will go into Josh Slocum or Rusty Pelican, we're considered by a lot of these babes to be gentlemen. And as a result of that, it's pretty much on a Saturday night or a Friday night, too, when you see... something sweet is coming through the door, you pretty much know, you know, right away she want, you know, she's gonna want it. And we're considered to be gentlemen.
What do you mean by want it?
Well, I mean, you can look at her and say you want it, right? And, you know, because of the fact that we are good-looking and we're also, and I don't, you know, mean to hit this.
Don't talk about good-looking. Mr. Henry always says it takes more than looks.
Well, I mean, that's what a guy that looks like Mr. Henry would say. And
well, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, I don't mean anything by it, Mr. Henry. I'm just saying that guys that have, well, can I just?
Go ahead.
I mean, guys that have a wrecked face like you, they're of course they're going to say it. You know, taste, you know, personality.
Okay, I got a wrecked face, huh?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying, you are funny and everything like that, and you probably have a personality and your own way probably has sex appeal, but not the sex that I have.
No, you're right, Chris. I wouldn't have the sex that you have. And for that matter, Mr. Velour or Mr. Bodine.
Well, okay, now you're making a reference to sexuality. Are you saying they're homosexual?
Am I saying what?
Are you saying that Mr. Bodine and Mr. Velour is homosexual?
He's wondering if...
I'm not saying that at all. No, no, I'm just... I was making a joke because I don't think that I have anything in common with you guys.
Well, but I mean, if you're saying... that they may be bisexual. That could be bisexual, homosexual. But,
okay, I understand what you're saying. I still want to get to the idea here that when you guys are in the bar, you say you chase out every psychopath.
That's why women are probably safe when we come into a cocktail lounge, which is what I prefer to call a Rusty Pelican. I don't want to call it bar. You know, it's almost like when we were out, you know, I was on set when I was watching Jeff and I was watching Steve going at it for a Cess Saloon. And I was like, okay, this is a Cess Saloon, but the Rusty Pelican is more of a cocktail lounge as opposed to a Cess Saloon or just a Cess, you know, or just a me market or a Cess market.
Okay, we're talking to Jeff Dowder. Not Jeff. I keep saying it's Jeff Dowder. It's Chris Norton. Jeff, there's a guy that we have on our show that just reminds me so much of you, Chris. It's not even funny. His name is, do you know Jeff?
I'm trying to place him. Is his name Jeff?
Yeah, I just told you, his name's Jeff.
Well, it's not Velour.
No, it's not Jeff Velour, it's Jeff Dowder, and you guys sound like you could almost be related. Anyway, I believe it's time to break. Yes, it is. We'll take a break, the world famous, or does that say 40? What time is it, man? I can't tell my... It's 40. We got a few more minutes. We're talking here with Jeff Dowder. Excuse me, with Chris Norton.
God, man.
What's the hang-up there, Phil?
I'm sorry. We're talking with Chris Norton about the bar scene. All right. Now, you guys come into a bar and the psychopaths flee?
I would have to believe that they do because the charm that we have and the sex is legitimate. There is not no... Phony Maroney or phony baloney or however you say it. There's not no phoniness. Our sex is sincere and is, you know, and that's why most of the time we're successful in the sex that we have with women because it is sincere and it's a seriousness that it's sad sometimes to think about how a psychopath or a sociopath is going to take advantage of a woman by lying to her and pretending like he has sexual energy, and he don't have no sexual energy at all. I do. He don't. And also, just the fact that we have a sophistication that they don't have.
Well, what do you mean by sophistication?
If I'm talking to a, you know, sweet, something sweet, and she knows that I'm not no, you know, slob, and I'm not sociopath or something.
Sociopath.
Yeah, I'm not no sociopath. She knows that I got me some money and I got me obviously I'm handsome and I got me sex. You know, I mean I got me my sexual energy and I got me the sex that I have and I'm not a homosexual and neither is well.
You know, you've been getting, I understand that, man. You didn't want to bring it up in the first place.
I know, and my phone's been, I can see my message lights going on and off because I know that Jeff Velour and Steve Bodine have been calling all night. They're probably pissed off because I said that they're, you know, they were in a homosexual scene. and I can see the lights just blinking on. And have you ever seen like a message light going off on a message machine, and you just know it's like an angry, it's just going blink, 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 blink. Have you ever seen that, Mr. Henry?
I haven't had a message machine in a long time, but no, I know what you mean.
I know what you mean, Chris, and it's a big red light going blink, blink.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you just know it's probably either Bodine or Velour, or maybe it's Babcock. And they're just all pissed. You know, the light's just going, I'm pissed. Could you call me homosexual, you know?
Okay, well, I tell you what. Let's take a break, and then you can clear those messages and see if indeed it was Bodine.
I know you're laughing, Mr. Henry. I can tell by the way your voice just cracked. You went, Bodine. I know that's laughter.
I'm laughing only because I think you're making a larger issue out of it. I'm sure your friends respect and love you, and that... I wouldn't know Jeff Bodine or Steve Velour.
No. It's Steve Bodine, Jeff Velour.
Okay, I wouldn't know Steve Bodine or Jeff Velour at all. And I'm sure they're handsome guys and women love them. And I'm not, I'll never see them in a movie.
Unless you are, which I'm not saying you are, but if you someday you are into homosexual movies, then you will see them. And that's the part that's the part that scares them.
All right, well, let's take a break, and you call them up, and...
I'm not going to call Bob.
Well, see if they're on the message machine.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, you do that. You clear your messages and find out if Jeff Velour and Steve Bodine called you, and we'll be right back. And
Truth
find out more about how
bitch.
These guys clear
the
psychopaths out
show.
Of bars. With how sincere they are. To that one for the top of the hour. On the line with me here is Jeff Dowder.
Sure, I'm going to hang up if you keep doing that.
What is your problem?
I apologize. Chris Norton, why don't you get Jeff Dowder and we'll compare the two gentlemen.
I don't know if he's around.
That's a stupid idea. Don't do that. Already you've butchered this hour.
What do you mean I've butchered the hour?
I don't mean to say anything, but you came on to talk to me about Seth and the psychopath within each one of us and how I'm not no psychopath and how women are attracted to my Seth. Okay. Then you butcher it up by calling me this guy's name. Then you carve it again by saying, oh, yeah, wow, you know, tell us all about, you know, your homosexual friends. I don't have no homosexual friends.
I didn't say that. You're the one that said you shouldn't mention anything about it.
Well, that's fine, but I mean, the point is, can we get back on what you want to talk about? And that's the lack of the sexual energy, and says that the commonality of the sex that the psychopath says is with the sassy girl, you know? Because we have a lot of women who come in a Rusty Pelican, and you can say they're sassy. And if you have, you got a girl with sassy, but the sassy sex that she has,
I can't. Hold on for a minute. I don't understand what you... What? She's saying what?
Talk about a sassy girl.
Yeah, sassy.
Oh, sassy.
Yeah, I'm saying if she's sassy and sassy, all right, and her name is Cece, okay...
Will you quit fuck screwing...
You almost said the...
Sassy girl.
Okay, fine. But, you know, you realize that you got something with your sinuses that makes you say sassy and sass and all that?
I've heard people say that. I don't know that that's necessarily the case. Because not everybody says that. A lot of people understand what I'm talking about. Sass, everybody understands what I say. As far as you're concerned, you don't even know about a girl named Cece.
I've heard a girl's name Cece, yeah.
Are they sassy? And I understand that you're having a hard time with it. And
look, Jeff, just listen.
That's it. Goodbye.
I don't blame him.
Did I call him Jeff?
Yes, you did.
I apologize wherever you are, Mr. Norton. I didn't mean to call you Jeff, but I guess I did. I don't know why. Maybe I'm still having problems. You know, I started the show out by saying that, you know, I'd had all that problem on Friday, not sleeping, and Jeff Dowder?
Yeah.
Okay, Jeff Dowder is on the line from Temple City this evening. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing really good. I almost jumped call in because I was talking to Bud Dickman about it and everything. He said what to call in, so I did.
So you heard me talking to this guy, Mr. Norton?
Yeah.
we're talking to Jeff Dowder. Jeff is a part-time a professor of mechanical physics at Caltech. You also, for a period of time, operated a snowplow for Huntington Beach, California. Now, that is something I don't think I can explain.
You want me to explain it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what... I was in charge of the snowplow for Huntington Beach. What do you want me to say about it?
How often does it snow in Huntington Beach?
Oh, yeah, no, it doesn't snow at all. I mean, Huntington Beach got a deal on a snowplow that they put in a city yard, and I worked near the city yard. I used to work for a boat dry dock over Tecumseh Dry Dock. I don't know if you know Tecumseh Dry Dock in Huntington Beach.
No, I do not know it.
Okay, well, that's where I worked. And the city yard, where most of the city equipment was located over near Tecumseh Boatyard. It was in the Huntington Beach City Yard, and they had a snowplow there that I think they got as a way, in lieu of payment on a bet, a football bet or a poker bet or something that somebody in city council had. And
Wait. The city of Huntington Beach got a hold of a snowplow in lieu of a bet being paid?
That's my understanding, that a member of the city council had a football bet or a poker bet or somebody owed somebody something and they couldn't come up with a cash, so instead they took a snowplow in lieu of payment. And so that was donated to the city, and I guess they needed somebody. One of the guys came to me and said, go over to the city hall right now because they're looking for someone who can drive a snowplow. I never drove a snowplow in my life. But I went over and I said, yeah. It's all about, you know, can you repair it? I go, yeah. So I, you know, if it ever does, and I'm not saying it will, but if it ever does snow.
If it ever snows in Huntington Beach, which is about as likely as what, a volcano erupting in Huntington Beach?
Probably a volcano is more likely, yeah.
That's nuts. All right, and what else, Jeff? What else do you do? All right, never mind.
I don't really want to get anywhere or anything like that, but...
But anyway, Jeff is a guy who consults on this program about a variety of news issues, and you sound very much like Mr. Norton. Do you know him?
I don't. Not that I know of, no. Not that I know of.
Because he is also a denizen of the beach communities, although you live in Temple City, correct?
Yes, sir, I do.
And you hang in Orange County?
Huntington Beach, Newport Beach.
Okay. Where else? Anywhere else?
You know, Seal Beach on occasion, and sometimes I go up Belmont Shores. I've got some friends at Belmont Shore.
All right. Just wanted to bring you on and introduce you to the crowd, and appreciate it very much, Jeff. Thank you, and a very pleasant and prosperous evening to you.
Yeah, okay. Also, I just want to mention that I have a band called Dark Horse.
Yeah, that's right. And you guys play it in Manhattan Beach?
Yeah, we play at Mr. Pooh's in Manhattan Beach, and my band is called Dark Horse, and we have an album that's coming out called Judgment at Sunrise, New Beginnings, which is the third in a trilogy of them. We did, the first was Judgment at Sunrise, the second was Judgment at Sunrise, Sun Up, and then this one is Judgment at Sunrise, New Beginnings. And what we're planning, obviously, is a thematic approach material. I would talk to you about that the next album is going to be Judgment at Sunrise, Coffee Break, Judgment at Sunrise, Soup Plantation, Judgment.
Wait, yeah, explain what you mean by that.
What do you mean, Judgment at Sunrise, Coffee Break?
Well, Judgment at Sunrise is a thematic album. It's a rock opera that's going to blow, you know, Tommy and all the other rock opera, it'll blow them away. And Judgment at Sunrise, you know how... The rock operas are, okay, they're long, but they're not that long.
Whatever that means.
Well, I mean...
Well, I know, Tommy is about, what, an hour and a half?
Yeah. This is going to be like 6 hours. We're going to have multiple CDs. So it's Judgment at Sunrise, New Beginnings. Then we got Coffee Break, Judgment at Sunrise. Soup Plantation means you're going to a cafeteria for lunch.
So, in other words, Judgment at Sunrise is a opera about the day.
Well, yeah, but it has one thing in common. It's food or the intake of fuel for the body, for the corpus delicti, okay?
Yeah. So why isn't it Judgment at Sunrise Breakfast?
Mr. Henrik?
Let him do it. It's his band.
I got to sit here and explain the artisticness of it.
All right, Judgment at Sunrise, Judgment at Sunrise Coffee Break, Judgment at Sunrise Soup Plantation, Judgment at Sunrise what? Afternoon snack?
No, afternoon nap.
Afternoon nap.
Yeah, because, again, it is about food, it's about restoring the fuel of the body. Afternoon nap represents getting some sleep to restore the body, but also you keep the calories pile on when you go to sleep. So you wake up, I guess technically you wake up fatter. And that's why it'll be Judgment Sunrise is the fourth or the fifth installment, Judgment Sunrise Slim Fast.
Phil
Hello?
Hendry.
Okay,
well, I mean that...